Alexa.com. You can also download our phone app. Tell Alexa, Siri, or Google you'd like to listen to our great music and memories. And when it comes to our community contact interviews and talk shows, you can listen to them live on our website or go pull them up later. WABF1480.com. For instance, we are now welcoming Fairhope City Councilman Corey Martin into the studio. Corey, it's a pleasure.
Good morning. Good morning, Lori. How are you?
Your first time here, except for when you interviewed for Mark right after the election.
That's
so
correct.
Congratulations and thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
How has it been so far? Not quite a year yet of what, 7-8 months in office?
Yeah, not quite a year, but so far everything is going well, I think. I think what we're doing, we're moving forward as a team. As a council, everybody's getting along and the boat's moving. It's leaving the dock. So I'm happy to say that. I'm proud of what we're doing so far.
The camaraderie is good between, as you mentioned, the council and as well as the mayor.
Yeah, a lot of the drama's gone, so that's a good thing. You always have to have that relationship to keep the boat moving.
And this is your first venture into public service officially, correct? I mean, I know you've done coaching and some other things. Tell us about that.
Yes, my first official public elected official office. But yeah, I've been in the community for a while, so it fits right into what I was doing. So just get a little bit more information when you go behind the veil. That's about the difference.
And we can learn more about you and your family on a recent issue of Fairhope Living Magazine. Would that have been, what, maybe February
edition?
Okay,
I think
yes.
It was,
and
yes.
You can find that online, too, at fairhopelivingmagazine.com. Well, let's start with the work session. Fairhope City Council meets at 4:30 in the work session. That and the 6 p.m. meeting can be watched online on the city's YouTube channel, live or later. Number one, and this has caused concern for a lot of municipalities, and this is changing the urban area designation criteria. Now, this is something that the federal government is doing that can affect federal funding to local communities. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah,
that and then it's number 21 that you'll vote on tonight.
That's correct. This is something that that came to us from the MOP. They were concerned as far as the municipalities that are a part of this, the MOP. Metropolitan Planning Organization, and the census is now changing their qualifications as far as who's designated as a UA or urbanized area. With this comes federal funding, and so we're concerned that we don't meet these new numbers. If you look on the agenda, I don't know if everybody sees it, but if you go in the packet under fairhope.gov, you can go into the big agenda where you can open it and see the details of our agenda. But the housing unit density has changed. The quality of urban areas has changed. The maximum distance of a jump, which is in transportation, they count that as a particular area. They call it a jump. It has to be a mile or a road that connects a contiguous road. That has changed. The distance has changed.
So it's not just based on population.
No, right now they're doing density.
Okay.
It used to be 50,000 was a central area,
uh-huh.
A central designated place. All right. Now they've changed that. They have numbers of density of 4,000 and 10,000. 4,000 housing units or 10,000 per person instead of a minimum threshold of 25,000 or 2,500 persons. So that's a big deal. You know, places like Loxley, Alberta, you know, different little places that we get pulled in because of our association with the urbanized area, they might get pushed out. And that's a less pot funding-wise.
Yes.
For streets.
So you anticipate the council to take a stand against that change?
Yes, I think we'll, in my opinion, I think we should push, vote yes on this proclamation that we're pushing up a resolution for this city.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also on the agenda is a discussion of balancing garbage route pickup days. Tell us about that. We just got a new garbage fee approved, $5 more a month. Does that take effect yet?
Yes, that took effect in April, I believe.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, this is something that the guys, when we was doing a work study, it came out in one of the meetings. Richard Johnson spoke to us about it, I believe. And they want to meet a mark of 10,000 on both sides, on both days. And I think one was a little whopsided. I think they had a little bit over 10 on one day and then a little bit 9 or less on the other day. So they want to keep it at 10, okay? They're going to switch the days and try to balance that so they're getting the same amount of hours in, work hours in for the guys every day.
So some of us might have a different garbage pickup day after this reconfiguration.
Yes, okay. And they'll put that out in a PA, public service announcement.
Okay, mm-hmm. But we're still keeping our two pickups recycling in our trash. All of that stays the same.
Will change from and Thursdays and Fridays. Now, I don't know the specifics to that, but I know the days. Some people might be on Thursdays now. Some people may be on Fridays that were on Fridays and now Thursdays.
Yes, I see.
Vice versa.
All right.
Yep.
Anything else on the work session you want to mention? And I might add, while you're glancing, this is a great thing to watch. If you just watch the council meeting, you might go, well, why didn't they talk about that more? Because they did in the work session.
Right.
So the work session is important to get the background of what it's going to be voted upon in many times.
That's exactly correct, Lori. You know, we had a young man come in to the city council a couple of times, and he was a little bit confused about that as well because he slapped us on the hand because we went through the agenda so fast. And we tried to explain to him and to the public that it's the work session that's the meat of what we do. We take time. Jack does a good job of taking his time and going through the work session and going through things that apply to the work session and the agenda. You know, there's a couple of things here. The next one, at number 4, is just employees getting on-call pay and how they get on-call pay. But that's
okay.
Yep. Yeah. And then 5.
What about a safe room grant?
Well, the safe room grant is that's a federal grant. They're doing that across the county. I think that's part of the Sally. When Sally hit, they saw that we would have deficits as far as emergency management is concerned.
I see. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So they want like public officials, the leaders, to be able to have a place, not just very high, but all the way down to the local area to have a place to be safe, especially people like the EMA, your sheriffs, your, you know, all those guys that lead in catastrophes. Mm-hmm. They want them to have the place to be so they don't get injured in case they have to help and run things. Yes.
Very good.
So that's what that is.
We're speaking with Fairhope City Councilman Corey Martin. It is now 8:36 WABF. Well, let's move on to the agenda. And I might add, there's 26 items if you include the adjournment, which is one reason why you can't discuss everything at length in that meeting. And we're just going to hit some of the highlights. As you mentioned, the agenda and the packet of the background information is available at fairhopeal.gov. Number 6, final adoption to the Clump PUD property. This is Gayfer Village Partners. They're on the west side of 181 between Gayfer and Fairhope Avenue, approximately 76 acres. What's going to happen here?
I think there's 3 different things that's happening here. It's a PUD.
Planned unit development.
That's right.
Which allows mixed use of houses, apartments, and retail.
And commercial. Yeah. Right. That's exactly right. And they're doing all of that. So I think unit 1, if I go down here, I'll show you. It's in here like Ragu. Unit 1. So it says unit 1, there shall be a maximum of 12 commercial lots. Now that has changed. It has dwindled down. At one point when I look back last year in 2020, it started out with 16. So now they're down to 12, which I think it's a good thing as far as density is concerned.
How many houses and apartments? Do we know yet?
Yes, so 232 units.
That's right. Okay.
Yes, 232 units. Yep, is what they're doing as far as houses, and these are single family homes as far as what they can do or can't do, single family homes.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think they're doing an R3 on this particular area.
And this is one of those catch-22s because it's outside of our city limits, but it affects us.
It affects us because it affects our infrastructure. And that's something that I wanted to talk about today as far as
This might not be outside of the city limits.
It may be.
Let me correct myself.
Yeah.
Because if the Fairhope is dealing with zoning, on this property than this has been annexed into the city.
Right,
it's
been annexed. So it affects our infrastructure for sure. The pavement, you know, the parking lots, we want to make sure that they're pervious or some type of substance that's permeable as far as our watershed and things, our stormwater drainage and runoff and things like that. Mm-hmm. So we have to really consider those things, and those are questions that we should ask as a council to make sure those things are being done. It says here that in the contract there is a stormwater management with a developer. That's something that we have to do now when we build these homes. And in the past, just to be honest, we have not really done that. The city was trying to take on all of that, and that's where we are now. So we learned, we live, and we learn, and okay. trying to do better.
7 and 8 would be allowing CSpire and Point Broadband Fiber to provide internet for Fairhope. Is that what this is saying here? To use the rights of way for their telecommunication services. So that means more options for broadband internet?
For fiber optic.
Fiber optic.
Fiber optic. So okay. that seems to be underground.
Okay.
Yes.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. SERP number 9. The city often or occasionally participates in surplus auctions with governmentdeals.com to sell items to the highest bidder.
I thought this was pretty cool. I didn't even know we did this, to be honest. I was looking at this, and I was like, I might try to get me a truck off here now.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this is really cool. But it looks like, yeah, we're trying to, whatever surplus or whatever mechanical instrumentation that we have, trucks, all kinds of things in here, digital patrol cameras, Kenwood batteries, vehicle lights.
I
see Crown Vicks cars.
Municipalities can say, I need that.
That's right. And we don't waste our money.
eBay for cities and government properties, right?
Yep. We get a little bit of our money back.
The biggie is number 10, and this would be a vote to start the work and engineering for phase one of the working waterfront project, which in here the wording is a lot longer. Working waterfront and green space project, Fairhope Municipal Pier and South Beach Park improvements. What kind of feedback have you received in the past couple of weeks since the council put it out for folks to once again provide public input, which started way before you were in office?
That's right. Yeah, it's been a merry-go-round. We definitely want to be transparent. We want to get this right. You know, we're working for the people, so we're definitely listening to what the people want. The people have been emailing. I think I just got an email last night. And the most concern from what I'm seeing is the concern about the bluff towards the South Beach end and the ramp and how much they would have to dig into that bluff to create such a ramp, a mechanical ramp for ADA approval. The second discussion, or vice versa, you can put them in any order you want, is whether that we have to have that ramp to be ADA legal. So that's something that we have to get with our legal attorneys and talk about. Those are questions that we have to ask our legal attorneys to go to GMC and see if that's something that has to be there. Another concern that we have that the public was speaking loudly about that I've received email-wise was the bathrooms down on the South Beach. They think that bathroom down there is taking up green space and the natural view. It doesn't seem natural. A bathroom with a possible vending machine. I didn't know we're putting a vending machine in there, but that's another concern that someone was talking about.
And I think the other concern was maybe too far off the beaten path.
As far as
that so could encourage, you know, hangout, loitering, and other bad things that shouldn't be happening in a dark corner.
Right. So that was a concern. That's one of the other concerns for the bathroom. But just the bathroom in itself with all its underlying concerns. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah.
So that will be discussed tonight.
All those things will be discussed. Okay. I think this number 10 actually speaks on just the conservation and natural resources being a part of GMC's contract.
The City Council approves the proposed scope of work and authorizes continuing work on related engineering for Phase 1. So that does sound like it would approve this preliminary concept to move forward.
Waterfront and green space project, yeah, for Municipal Pier, South Beach Park improvements, the City of Fairhope subward grant form for the Alabama Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, ADCNR.
And as part of the Restore Act as
yes,
well.
Yes, okay. Yes.
All right. It's nice to see number 13 buying fireworks, getting back to normal.
No doubt. Yeah, I saw this and I smiled. I said, this is good.
$32,000.
Yeah, you see.
And that's about what it usually is every year, right around $30,000.
Yeah.
Our own fire department used to do all of this, but some laws changed, and now we have to hire a company to do it.
Yeah, we would have to have somebody in our fire department with a particular certification. And I think we spoke of this when I first got in, when mm-hmm. we were talking about doing the 4th of July 2020. And we found out that information because we probably could save that $17,000 that we're... have as far as budget is concerned. We projected about 15,000 is 32, but I think at one point we thought we were going to be able to do it in-house again,
mm-hmm.
and we found out that we couldn't because we didn't meet a particular certification.
Okay.
So in the future, I think our plans is to try to do it in-house again to save those dollars. Yeah.
Good. Our guys are very good and adept at that too.
Yes.
Number 14 would hire a grant consulting services for grant management up to $2,000 a month, not to exceed $24,000 annually. Aren't grants normally handled in-house? In fact, don't we have an employee of special projects and grants manager as their title?
Yeah, and I have not spoken to the mayor about this at all. I did read it, but I have not spoken to the mayor about this. But I think this particular company has been with us as a consulting agency in the past, and I think we're just renewing the contract.
And grant applications, I think, get more and more complicated.
As they get twisted, and all the things that Jessica has to do,
yes.
I think that it's duly noted that mm-hmm. Sometimes she would need hands on deck.
As I heard myself describe that, I thought, who could do all the special projects and
right.
grants management?
That's exactly
they
right.
need some help.
Yeah, she wears many hats. She does
yes,
a good
she
job.
Yes, she does. She absolutely fantastic job.
Yeah.
It looks like number 15 and 16 are more improvements for our gas department and for some sewer improvements, budgeted items to help with our infrastructure. $53,000 for a generator and a natural gas generator for lift stations. Then about $79,000, $80,000 for a vacuum excavation system for the gas department. Are those budgeted items or were those grant items? I apologize if I put you on the spot. You may
no,
not
no,
find
no.
out
those are budget.
Tonight.
No. Those are budgeted items. Yeah, those are budgeted items for sure. And I don't know if we're going to try to get FEMA to take care of some of these things or not. We'll have to ask those type of mm-hmm. questions tonight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Number 17, Renourishment Beach for beach sand at Magnolia Beach lost in Hurricane Sally. 1,500 dry tons of sand for $17,775. Where is Magnolia Beach for those?
I have no idea. To
you
be
know,
honest, I don't
lived
know what they're calling.
I've lived
32
years. Yeah, wait a minute.
I wanted to
Magnolia
ask,
Beach.
I don't know what they're considering Magnolia Beach.
I think
and it has to be in our district.
I think it's between the pier, the Pier Avenue boat launch. And say the American Legion. I think that's
if that's
it.
What they're calling the Magnolia Beach.
But thank you because I felt bad not knowing for sure, and now I don't feel bad.
Yeah, yes.
I'm pretty sure that's
I'm
what
have to
that
learn
means.
That. Yeah.
Okay,
I'm gonna have to learn that.
Now we've got number 18, emergency repair for 225 linear feet of bulkhead due to erosion at South Beach, $21,000. Now this is not part of the working waterfront. This is. Erosion problem caused by hurricane that
That's
we got to go ahead and
issue.
Fix now.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and it was budgeted.
Yes.
Yes.
And speaking of the pier, the city announced Friday afternoon, I believe, that work on the utility tray
yes.
was
hey,
beginning
yeah.
today. And I just can't.
God bless them.
I can't sing the praises enough for the city, because after Hurricane Zeta, which most of us didn't notice because we didn't get the wind and the power outages and the trees down, but the water, if you were on the water, you noticed it.
Yep.
And that messed up our pier. It's why it's been closed for so long at night. So the city was getting, what, $250,000 bids.
Yes.
To do this project. Department heads and mayors and managers got together and said, let's do this ourselves.
Right, which was a great move, you know. And we asked the question, and it was Jack that asked the question, doesn't he think that we can get this done ourselves? And Richard stepped up to the plate and said yes. So,
yes,
our engineer, yep.
And now we've got not to exceed $50,000 to get the utilities back in place on the pier. So
yep.
Very nice. So
yep, it,
you might be able to walk part of the pier. You might not. They're starting today on the first half. So, and just look for the barricades and don't cross them. Let's see what else. Oh, 19. For boat owners that are looking to enjoy the Fairhope docks again or waiting on a boat slip, what's happening here? For the Fairhope docks bulkhead repairs, there was no quotes received. And they're having to rebid again. And this isn't the first time.
Yeah.
It's hard to find workers between those already working from the hurricane and those that don't want to work or because of the unemployment and the pandemic.
Right. So this is, we've run into this, especially when you're dealing with the water and someone maybe possibly has to work off a barge or off a boat somehow to work on that boat head. I don't know if they have to do that or not, but this is the issue we had with the pier as well.
Mm-hmm.
Anything on that water, we've been having an issue finding people to work on things on the water. So we'll rebid it and see if we can find a DBE or MBE or WBE that wants some work.
Okay. What's WBE?
Women business entities.
Oh.
Minority business entities.
I see. Okay.
Disadvantaged business entities.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to kick some rocks and find those guys that really want some money. You know what I'm saying?
I like
do a good job.
I like your perspective.
Yep.
And then we've mentioned the actual vote concerning the urban area designation is on the agenda, followed by some new appointments. What would you like to mention that I haven't thought to ask? I mean, I know that the city's catching some complaints in social media about recent sewer spills, but they've been a lot smaller than they were in the past due to the improvements, and we're making lots more, a multi-million dollar sewer improvement.
Well, yeah, you know, what people don't know is that when we have an SSO, that water has been treated. You're not getting a bacteria infected type situation going into the bay. And anytime it spills over, it has to be reported. But it does go through the water plant, okay? This is not an untreated. It's not processed completely, but it has been treated some.
Yes.
So it's not like we have all this bacteria dumping into the bay. That's something that I learned coming into the city that a lot of people don't really know, you know? But the process, we've been around for a long time, so but we still don't want any spills at all. So we still have to do better, you know? But I just want to explain to people that you're not, every time you get an SSO, it's not like a bunch of feces dumping into your water, you know what I'm saying? And I think that's what most people think. I did, to be honest, you know, but that's not the case. It has been diluted tremendously when it gets to that point.
And the amounts, just from me sitting behind this microphone for all of these years, reporting for so long, it wasn't 100,000, 175,000, into the gully, into the bay. It was 10,000 here, 30,000 here. Yes, I know that's
gallons.
Still a lot, but it's getting better.
It
and these ongoing improvements are just going to make
so
it
you
even
saw
better.
The generator. That's what the generator is for.
Right.
So you know, hopefully at some point, I'm dreaming, I'm visionary, that we will have generators on all of our sites, and I think it's 80 plus sites that we have lift stations. So hopefully we'll have where electricity goes. That's exactly right. We're praying. Electricity goes out. We have those generators there. They kick on, and we don't have these overflows. Now, when you're talking to water flow and runoff, sometimes God takes over.
Six inches
it doesn't matter
12, yep.
what we do. You're going to get overflow because you can't contain and hold that much water at the plant. So That's another issue.
And two of the lift stations, in fact, the guilty ones in the past couple of weekends of the spills, are the two low-lying that are going to be relocated and replaced.
Yeah, and one of them was actually, from what I got in a report, and I don't know what construction company, but it was noted that a construction company tapped into one because they didn't do a line check.
Ah.
So, we'll take the heat for that. But I don't know which construction company, but we definitely got to get our hands wrapped around that.
Yes, yeah. Indeed. Thank you so much. Anything else before we run out of time?
No, man. I think, thank you for having me today, Lori. I think the biggest thing that people are concerned about is that waterfront. Mm-hmm. And we're listening. And I don't think we're going to move too fast. We have to 22 to make this happen. So I don't think we're going to move too fast. And we're listening. And the mayor is definitely listening. The council is listening. So.
And folks can comment tonight at the meeting.
They can.
If they'd like.
Yes.
Has that changed at all? Folks don't have to sign up anymore. They can just show up.
They show up.
That's what I
thought. You get a 3-minute participation
yep.
at the beginning, and you get a 3-minute participation at the end.
At the beginning is to address an item on the agenda.
Yep.
At the end is to talk about anything
whatever
you want.
It's called open
right.
forum. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you can still email today or call a councilman.
That's exactly
well.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. At the end, it's for the good of the order.
It's a pleasure, Corey.
Yes,
I hope
you'll
come
you for
back.
Me.
Thank
I will.
You.
I enjoyed it.
I did too. Corey Martin, our newest Fairhope City Council member. If you missed part of this interview or you want to tell a friend, you can listen later at WABF1480.com.